just a little bit. Don't have it all memorized just yet. Working on it. Amazing grace. My chains are gone. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Those chains that used to bind us, gone. What a marvelous thought. What a marvelous thing to sing. We just recently added that to our songbook in Polish, and it's a hit. We like it. We love singing it. We love reminding ourselves what it is. I'm going to be in John chapter 14. Before I start, I'd like to just thank everyone up to now. What, again, it's been marvelous. Everybody's been amazing. I love coming back here. This is my home. This is my church. I love you guys. I love every one of you guys. And it's a blessing, and it's just encouraging to come back and see my brothers and sisters, and to be refreshed and to be able to refresh each and one another. It's just amazing because we do need it. Being on the mission field, you're the one always lifting up. Pretty much, you're, especially building a church, starting a church, you're lifting. And there's only so much that you want to go to your dad for, when you're especially working with him, so you kind of refrain from that, so you don't have much of a choice. Luckily, now Brian is over there, so I get to call him from time to time, a little bit easier than 7 hours difference. But yes, it's amazing to be able to come back here and be able to just refresh. Be refreshed and be listening. We first got here. I started the open meeting, and I just was ready to just stand up, and Magda's like, just sit. You need this. Just sit and just listen. Just listen. Just be refreshed. It's okay. And I was like, all right. Yeah, you're right. All right. I don't have to be jumping up. And it's just this part of a routine that you have that you just forget. Yeah. I can just once for just a little bit wait and be refreshed. And that's just, it's been really amazing. And just the open meetings, the meetings, and just these couple days already, this first day and today, just already been a huge blessing. So I want to just thank the Lord for that. All right. I'm in John chapter 14. We're going to be reading from verse 26. Said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So, before I get into the main message of what I want to say, it's just incredible what Lord Jesus is preparing his disciples for. Preparing for his departure, understanding that, and first giving them the promise of the Comforter. And praise the Lord, we have the Comforter. And we need that. There are days and there are times when you're like, man, I am so happy I have the Comforter with me. Because I don't know what I would do if I didn't have that Comforter with me. And I don't know how this world handles problems and trials and deaths and sicknesses without the Comforter. And they need it. They need the Comforter as much as we need it, and they need it. They just don't know it. But he says, then again, he says about the peace. Peace I leave you. Isn't that amazing? The peace that he gives, not like the world gives. The peace the world wants is just all talk, nothing to show for. Yeah, they call for peace, peace, but nothing's happening. The Lord Jesus says he gives peace, and it's true peace. And it's peace beyond anything a man can imagine. That true peace. My peace. Thank God he didn't give, say, somebody else's peace or Trump's peace. Thank God he said, my peace. Hey, I don't want anybody else's peace except his. That kind of peace, I want his peace. I don't want anybody else's. I want the Lord Jesus Christ. I want his peace. And he says, I give it unto you. And then he said, I rent it unto you. See, I give it. It's freely. I just praise my Lord Jesus for that. He gives it unto us. All right. And so he goes on explaining what's going to be happening, right? He said, in a moment, I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be talking to you much more. I'm going to be gone. But these things, I'm telling you these so you might believe, right? And he says about the prince of the world is going to come. He has nothing in me. But then he says a very interesting phrase in verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father. That phrase, when I was reading it on my personal devotion, just hit me. It struck me in a very unique way that I hadn't been struck before until I started thinking about it, that the world may know. Know what? He wants the world to know, not that he's the greatest of all the land, although he was. He didn't say, I want the world to know that that I can do all these miracles, although he did. He said very simply that the world may know that I love the Father. Amen. What a just a completely an in-depth mentality to think about, just showing the love of the Father to the world. And you know, we have to remember, Christ is our example. We are to follow him. We are to follow his example. Even the Bible says, for even hereunto we were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Amen. What are we supposed to do? Well, he says, I want the world to know that I love the Father. That's pretty profound. How did Jesus show the love of the Father to the people? Well, first of all, if you think about it, he was out with them. He didn't say, I want to show the love of the people laying on his lazy boy, watching Netflix. Now, you cannot show the love of the Father to the pit of the world from the comfort of your home. I know that Facebook exists. I know that people use that and I understand that as a technique. I don't want to take that away from you. I personally do not like arguing with people that way. It's just not part of me. I like looking at people's faces. I like hearing their voices. I don't like to be misunderstood by a sentence that I write, you know, wrong tone, whatever. I like to just hear people. So I stay clear of that. And if you do that, that's great. And I know that there are people who respect that and they need that, and that's fine. But generally speaking, if we were to follow Christ's step, he went out to the people, right? He was out there. He was out in the world. He was around them, right? He was amongst them. He was with the lepers. He was with the blind. He was the poor. He was with the needy. He was out there. He was touching them. He was touching them verbally. He was touching them spiritually. He was around. He was accessible. You cannot show the love of the Father if you are not there. He was speaking to them, preaching to them, teaching them, loving them, just being part of their world, to show them a little bit of his world. Amen. And showing the miracles, the amazing miracles that he had for them, what I have for you, it's amazing. He says that I love the Father. He wants the world to know that he loves the Father. And how did Christ show his love for the Father? Did he pay the ultimate price on the cross in love for his Father? Didn't he fulfill the law showing the love of his Father? Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophet. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law. What did Christ do? He loved the Father that he obeyed his commandment. He fulfilled every single piece of it. For whom? For the world. And he wants the world to know that he loves the Father. What does it also say? He says in John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That's love, isn't it? I don't know what better love can show than to please someone you love. See, that's the mentality of the world that they don't get. They don't get love that way. P- love for them, for the world is, please me. What can you do to please me? What food can you prepare that makes me happy? I want, I want, I want. It's me. See, the Lord Jesus says, I do always the things that please Him.
Amen.
I want to please Him. I want to be fruitful for Him. I want to be faithful to Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. That's love. That's the kind of love we need to show the world. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. Obedience. Another aspect of love. The world doesn't get that idea at all. They think obedience is you're torturing the child. It's unfair. They have rights. You have the right to obey. Basically. Obedience is a very essential part of love. Because if you do not love and you're given a command and you say you're full of yourself, then you will not obey. You say, I don't want to do what you want me to do. I don't love you. See, that's a problem. When kids say, I love you, and then they do their own thing. Something's wrong here. You can't say, I love you, and say, I don't want to listen to what you have to say. Or I don't want to obey you. It's a problem there. Jesus says, here he still talks about him, about Jesus, that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. To the very end, he was obedient. He was obedient. See? That's pretty impressive. The love that he wanted to show the world. He wanted to show the world that I love the Father. That's what he wanted the world to know, that he loves the Father. And of course, with the commandment, right? He says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment. You know what I mean? In other words, there's expectations of me to do, to fulfill what God has called me to do. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. He says, I have a commandment. I have an obligation. I must do what the Father called me to do. I must. There is an obligation, expectation, if we dare say. That the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment. There is an expectation to fulfill that commandment. Here, what did Lord Jesus say in Luke 22:42? Just saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Oh, you understand that situation, don't we? When the Lord Jesus is in the garden and he's sweating like drops of blood. He knows what's coming. He's God, but he's also man. He knows what's coming. Oh Lord, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will.
Yeah.
Not my will, but thine be done. See, that's another aspect of love. To do the will of the Father. To love the Father. Say, not my will, but thine be done. To surrender yourself so completely that no matter what, you are ready to follow the will of the Lord to the very end and say, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. How often is it backwards? How often do we say, Lord, my will is this. Can it be done this way? Lord, I want this way. And if we don't get that way, we stomp like little children and say, I didn't get my way. He doesn't love me anymore. Lord Jesus didn't do that. He is our example. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There was an expectation. And what is his reaction? What does the Lord Jesus say about this? He says, ever so just simply, even so I do. There's no back talking, there's no arguing, there's no negotiating. Yeah. Even so I do. This is what it required. This is what I need to do. This is what the Lord commanded. This is what I need to obey. This is His will. This is where I need to go. This is what is expected of me, and this is what I will do. It's just that simple. It's just that plain simple. Yet we make it oh so hard. We love to add onto that so many other, but Lord, I would rather. Are there any other? Can I give you a second option? That's not what our example did. Our example said, even so I do. He did what was expected of him. He got up. Because now he says, even so I do. And what does he say next? Arise. Let us go hence. So, very simple, isn't it? It just, he says, I love the Father. I love him so much. I'm going to fulfill his commandment. He told me to do. I'm doing it. I do that commandment. So, let's go do it. What are we waiting for? Yeah, there's things to do. Let's not stop just sitting around, just twiddling our thumbs, looking at each other's eyes. Let's go do something. Brothers and sisters, I want to just encourage you tonight. What is it for us that the world may know Jesus? What do we need to do? How does our love to the Father look like? Right? Just have a few questions. Is it a weekly love? Sundays only? I mean, once a week love? Or is it daily love? Is it only whenever you need Him? Like we have a phrase in Polish, when you have a problem, you go to God. That's the phrase, basically, the roughly translation. You got a problem? You need healing? You go to God. Even the atheists know that. They know exactly where to go to the Christian. Can you pray for me? How do we know? How do we show our love to the Father? Do we fulfill His commandments? Is our behavior showing the love of the Father? Are our words showing the love of the Father? Are the places we go to show the love of the Father? How are we behaving when we are out in the world? Are we acting like them? Or are we showing them the love of the Father? Are we responding in like manner? Or are we ready to show the love of the Father? Because I can tell you, Lord Jesus didn't respond in like manner to the Pharisees, and he even though he was God and knew their thoughts, he still was able to just speak to them normally. How do we show the love of the Father to the world? First of all, we must go where the people are. It's simple. The world needs to know, are you a Christian? Amen? Amen? Amen. Are you born again? Amen. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? Amen. That is important for the world to know, don't you think? Amen. We need to tell them, we need to show them the love of the Father. But if we sit at home and wait until they figure it out on their own, it's not going to happen. Amen. Lord Jesus did not wait in His little central office, waiting for people to come to Him. He went. He left. He walked everywhere. He spoke. He touched. He moved. Amen. He talked to that lady at the well. He even said, I must go there. Didn't He say that? I must go to that place. I have a business to do.
Amen. Amen.
We must go where the people are. We must speak to the people. Not be scared of asking them questions. Hey, do you know where you're going to die?
Right. Amen.
You know how what's one simple question can completely confound a person? Whoa. Well, do you? I sure do.
Amen.
Do you have a few minutes? I can share that with you. We must be the examples of the love of the Father. We must show and tell what great things Christ had done for us. Remember that man who had the legion of demons in him? He wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, no, go home. And what? Tell what great things Christ has done for you.
Amen.
Go home and tell them. We must share with them the greatest miracle of all. Your testimony. Your conversion is the greatest miracle of all. Think about it. The fact that He's died and saved your soul and you accepted it is a miracle, isn't it?
Amen.
You should not be here. We should not be here. It's the grace of God that we are here. It is only by the grace of God that we are not consumed. He saved our soul, and we, if we keep it hid to ourselves because of fear, because of I don't want to get involved, because it's uncomfortable, because I'm scared, because I don't know, multiple excuses come to mind probably. If you don't want to do it, you'll find a way not to do it. True? But Christ gave us an example. He says, but that the world may know that I love the Father. He wants us to show that same love. That He gave us a commandment. Didn't He give us a commandment? I think one of the commandments is right here behind me, isn't it?
Amen.
That's pretty powerful.
Amen.
That's not a suggestion. That's not a, if you agree with it, great.
Amen.
That's a, go ye into all the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. Go. It's not a request. It's a command. It's imperative for us to understand. We need to tell. We need to show the love of the Father to this world. This world does not have enough love. True, godly love. They have perverted and turned love upside down. Disgusting. And we need to show them what true love really means. Someone sacrificing themselves for the good of others. Jesus did that. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love him? Or do we just say we love him? Do we love him, or is it just all talk and no show? It's important. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Grievous, that's a good word. Something that is not bad. Something bad or is grievous. Very severe or serious. In other words, not severe. Not serious. Not hard to handle. Not heavy. His commandments are pure. He says in Matthew chapter 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't we want to lighten the load of some people in this world? Shouldn't that be sort of a priority in our lives of saying, what can I do to lighten your load? How about all the sins that people are carrying on their backs? And guilt. And depression. And anger. And fury. And just complete, just out of despair. How about we just show them a little love of the Father, as Jesus Christ wants us to do. But that the world may know that I love the Father. What do we need to do? Very simple. Arise and go. Arise and just do it. It's very simple. You make a determination, I'm going to do that, and when the next situation presents itself, I will do it.
Amen.
I mean, you don't need to talk yourself into eating breakfast, do you?
Right.
You've already predetermined probably at night what I'm going to eat the next morning. Especially you gotta wake up in the morning, you probably already have your food already prepared, you already know what's happening the next day, at least you got a plan. Why can't we do that? Why can't we just mentally prepare ourselves? You know what? This is what I'm going to do when this situation presents itself. These are the situations. This is what I want. This is how I want to show the Father. This is how I want to show the love of the Father to my relatives. Sometimes the easiest way, maybe not the easiest way, it's not easy to go, preach the gospel to relatives. As Corey said, I'm happy I don't have to personally do that with my own personal family. But I do something similar to my wife's family. And it hurts. And you try. And words sometimes just fail. But you know what? What helps? Showing the love of the Father.
Amen.
You don't know how many times is my wife's family came up to us and saw how me and my children were interacting with each other and said, "That's beautiful." They saw how I was laughing and enjoying my sons, my teenage sons. You know, teenage sons shouldn't enjoy being around with the parents. That's what they think. That's what theirs do. Well, praise the Lord, our teenage sons wanted to be with us and enjoy speaking and talking and laughing and joking and teasing, which we all know I grew up with that a lot.
Yeah.
It's fun. But you know what? Those things show the world, some part of your world, that you have something that is different.
Yeah. Amen.
And what you show when you're out there and you are behaving appropriately and you are thinking, you don't know what person is from afar looking at you and thinking, "Man, he said he was a Christian once. I remember him telling me that. He said he believed in Christ. I remember him telling me that once. I see it now. I see how he's behaving, because I wouldn't do that. I see how he's acting, because I would do it differently." Arise, get up. Stop sitting around waiting for things to happen. We must make things happen. The gospel will not get shared unless the people will get out of their comfort zones and preach the gospel. It's up to us to get out to the world to show the gospel, to show the love of the Father. There is a world out there beyond our backyards, every one of us. There is a world out there. Your world may be your workplace. Your world may be your family. Your world may be something closer and may be in the mission field. I do not know. One day I heard that call, that my world was calling me. I need to go back to Poland because there are people dying and I need to get back over there to preach. And I desire to see souls getting saved. That desire has wavered at times. I've lost that vision from time to time, and thank God for these mission conferences that have helped me refocus my mind. I praise the Lord for my brothers who have and sisters who have been up here to share the word of God, to reprimand me at times, remind me to refocus.
Amen.
But we need to be refocused. We have lost focus and focused on the wrong things. Let's focus on what the Lord says here, "But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence."
Amen.
Amen.